everybody, and welcome to the Boom Burst Podcast, Turf Wars Phase 19 Recap. I'm your host, Dozer, and with me we have an asshole.
Ian, screw up this time. I'm Syracus.
I feel like I quite nailed that one.
Yeah.
For once.
Finally. Other times it really doesn't work.
Hey, that was... You just kind of threw that at me, too. It was a curveball. You're like, 5, 4... Dozer, you intro. I'm like, what?
Curveball.
And I caught it.
That is an achievement in Dozer's life. He has caught a ball. So, moving on. What have you been up to?
Well, I'm the reason this episode is late.
Oh, yeah. For once, it's not going to be my fault.
I don't really mind talking about this too much, because at least a good chunk of Turf Wars already knows. On Thursday night, early Friday morning, my sister was admitted to the hospital with an inflamed pancreas, and she didn't get released until it was around noon on Monday, like 12 hours ago. So now you know what time we're recording this.
Yeah, it's really late.
Checks that off the bingo card.
We need to re-randomize it.
We do. But everything so far, so that just really took over my weekend. I didn't get to work. I haven't been to work since Thursday or class. But, I mean, that's kind of expected. It was one of those things where I just dropped everything and stopped, you know, paying attention. It's like, internet life, you're kind of dead to me right now.
Yeah, my sister's in the hospital.
That's like the third relative I've had in the hospital in like the last 10 months. The others being my aunt and my nephew, so they know me by name now. There was a nice nurse who gave me a cup of coffee.
Dude, score.
Yeah. She's like 30 though.
Oh. Well then.
What have you been up to, Zach?
Not much.
You've been trains. courtesy of blueberry pancakes of dim sum.
Anyway, all trains aside, I really
we're getting a little off track. Maybe
I'm gonna punch you. I really haven't done too much. Actually, we haven't really been making that much content recently, so I haven't had anything to really edit.
Yeah. We've had problems getting recordings done. People have been asking, "Where's Queenie?"
She doesn't like to be on these recordings because she kind of doesn't really
pay attention to Turf Wars.
Pay attention.
But she likes the main episodes. But there's two problems we've been having with the main episodes. One, we're kind of pulling topic ideas out of our ass.
That's a really good way of explaining it, yeah.
Like, it's pretty much, okay, we have to record an episode in a couple days. I'm going to consistently be checking Google News for Pokemon-related things.
And if nothing shows up, well, we're kind of screwed and we have to think up something on the spot.
Which, we have some, like, really interesting ideas, but we're trying to get good guests for those.
Yeah.
And another problem is we actually have an episode idea in mind this time, but Queenie had PAX.
Yeah, PAX is pretty big. She got to play Splatoon, and now Dozer and I are super jealous.
Me more than you.
It's not fair. It's not fair at all. I want to play Splatoon. I want the Splatoon amiibo. Conflicted.
Splatoon amiibo?
Yeah, I think they got announced.
Oh, sweet.
Splatoon, yeah, so, Smash. Yeah, but,
Are you gonna... I think in the next, like, the fifth Smash game, I think we can expect to see some inklings in there from Splatoon.
Just probably as, like, an assist trophy.
At the very least. I think you could do playable character, though.
Maybe. I think it was hinted at, but I don't think it was confirmed.
For DLC, that'd be cool DLC.
For an amiibo.
An amiibo? I'm like, just saying I want my Inkling DLC for Smash 4.
But how would it even play?
Fox Play is just fine. There's a lot of things it could do. Dude, how much do you know about Splatoon? They have a lot of things.
Did you have the Ink Dash?
There's, like, so many different weapons, because there's, like, the Ink Mop, which could be a dash attack. There's the regular Ink Gun that can be your standard B. There's cannons and all this stuff that can be, like, your smash attacks.
Yeah.
There is plenty that they could do.
I'm trying to think what else have I been up to, though, because we really haven't...
There's been nothing going on.
No, and also, like, we have another topic that might involve us getting a new host on the show.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Not on this show, not on
the
show.
Not on the... Well, maybe... Other shows. Maybe eventually on the recap, because she's signed up for Turf Wars Season 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Also, it is a she.
It is a she.
It is a she.
So we're going to have an even gender. 1-to-1 ratio for genders.
It's more the phase recaps won't be a sausage fest.
Yeah, basically.
And that way, if, like, I have another family emergency, I don't need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Because currently, if Zach and I aren't there, an episode doesn't happen. Even... Either or, really, because I don't think you and Queenie have recorded an episode without me.
No, we have not.
And Queenie and I haven't recorded an episode without you.
No, you have not.
Queenie and I should record an episode without you. That could be interesting.
No, you cannot. I'm going to come back. Zach, I need you to edit this, and it's a secret episode that you guys didn't tell me about, and you're just trash-talking me the entire time. And talk about how wrong I was, like, throughout this entire year for stuff.
We can play... We do a highlight of all your Illuminati theories.
Which Dozer learned recently why I have them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Your family is scary. Mainly your grandma.
Dude, my grandma is the boss.
Your grandma's, like, badass grandma. Like, she could kick some ass, Grandma. Speaking of kicking ass, battles, phase 19, Solar Trinity.
Yeah. I wouldn't really call them grandmas. Because that would be mean to Liz. I don't think she's that old.
I still don't know why you call her Liz.
Why? Because...
Lice.
L-Y-S. Lice?
Yeah, Lysandra.
That sounds gross.
Kind of does, but...
Yo, check out this guy. Check out this person. Her name's Lice?
It's Lysandra.
It's just easier to say Liz.
Liz. Lice.
Not Liz, know. But Liz.
Liz? Yeah, but you say Liz, and I'm just... I think Elizabeth or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Hi, Lysandra.
Solar Trinity.
Solar Trinity. Ecruteak City. Solar Trinity versus Magma. It went to... The leader battle, Solar Trinity winning at 6-3.
Yeah.
Solar Trinity also went for a chain attack, going from Cormorine into Lumiose. Cormorine against Arcadia, Lumiose against Dim Sun. However, Arcadia kind of raffle stomped Solar Trinity 5-1.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say raffle stomped. They lost at least one battle. So. Yeah,
but the thing is, 5-1 is the kind of one of the biggest point differences you can get, because the only other one is 4-0.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
You know, granted, either way, it's a difference of 4, but 5-1 sounds a little more painful than 4-0. Even though it's the same amount of battle wins, so...
Yeah.
It's just because of logic. But, I was talking to you about this before, with, I would have almost liked to see Arcadia try to throw that match, just because that would have allowed Solar Trinity to get up and up in Lumiso.
Yeah, I think we talked about on the last recap Lumiso. About how if Lumiose. They can, they fixed it in the battle tracker. I'm so disappointed with you guys.
We even did an entire episode we were talking about it as Lumiso.
Anyway, if they would have actually been able to somehow take Lumiose from Dim Sum, that really would have hurt them.
They would have been
lot.
Able to shred through Dim Sun's bonus victory points, which could have knocked them out of the lead.
I'm not saying Dim Sun would have lost like the whole thing, like that they would have lost just because they're going up against Lord Trinity. I'm just saying if they would have lost that, they would have been at such a huge risk in this final phase.
Yeah, no, it would have been very, the positioning would have been in Solar Trinity's favor. Very much so. But of course, Arcadia, by winning, helped Dim Sun. Which, you know, you can't throw a match either. But I was kind of,
You can.
Well,
it's called playing baseball. But,
Okay. But, yeah, so the Lumiose City battle never happened, but Solar Trinity did have their hands full with Magma. Yeah. Magma attacking Solar Trinity at Mauvile City. That one also going to a leader battle.
Which is our leader battle of the week.
Yay!
Yay!
You always sound so enthusiastic.
Here, I'll make it easier for you. Play the soundbite I'm going to send you right here. And it's going to sound so enthusiastic.
Oh, gosh. This is going to be entertaining.
Gone, I have and to put, like, put like Darude Sandstorm in the back of this. I don't care.
But no. So, you know the drill by now. We're going to pause. Well, you pause the episode, watch the battle, and then come back to us. So, pause. And we're back.
I just realized this episode is, like, completely backwards.
What do you mean?
Like, that's usually the stuff I do.
Yeah.
But I just don't care.
Hey, I'm in rare form today. I don't want to sound like I hate doing this, because I love doing this, but I just kind of want to get this done tonight.
Yeah, we've kind of been putting this off for the past 3 nights.
So. Well, for reasons, though.
Yes, reasons. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Okay. That was us just saying, screw this, let's do it tomorrow night.
Twice.
No, there were not, most of the battles weren't, like, there were a lot of battles that needed to happen on Sunday.
On Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't have time.
But yeah, anyway. So battle, really good battle, actually.
Mamoswine.
And Mamoswine putting in the work. And if you are curious what the other two, leader battles, because we're only three this phase. The one really didn't want to post it. It was for Ecruteak City. It was just deadlocked.
Forever. It was
forever.
It was a large stall out, and then it ended in a forfeit.
Yeah, like, it was not going to be entertaining. And the other one we'll talk about when we get to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh my goodness, this battle was actually fun to watch, and we see some really interesting plays from both sides, some good predicting, and that not only is just the Mamoswine, but the Mandibuzz, just...
The Mandibuzz being a bro.
Just being a bro, taking hits.
Well, she-bro.
She-bro. Bra. Yeah.
A bra. A bra? Okay.
Yeah, bra.
But no,
I just closed out of the tracker.
Well, you can reopen that, but no, we see a... Interesting team from N, you know, kind of suits semi-standard for Solar Trinity leaders at this point, from what I can tell. You know, you got the Rotom Heat, we see that a lot from Solar Trinity. The Skarmory, I don't see as much, but I like.
Yeah, it's... Skarmory got a lot of its usage in, I'd say, doubles more so than singles, just because it's a good physical tank. But it also is a good, like... hazard setter, but we don't see it doing that, but mainly because
Skarmory isn't even super great in doubles, but okay. And then of course Prankster Sableye, we're going, this honestly felt like an old school sort of leader team, because he even had the season one Scrafty build.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. And Garchomp, which is something we haven't seen for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Garchomp is still a Pokemon that puts some work. Except this time.
Garchomp's a pretty... Well, it tried.
It gets a gold star for trying. But,
Audio's team has Mamoswine, which pretty much... Mamoswine has the ability to hit pretty much all of N's team, minus the Rotom Heat and the Charizard Y, pretty hard. Because the Mammoth Swine, predicting-wise, can really threaten Skarmory, because if Skarmory goes for the Roost, it can Earthquake, and then it's super effective, and the Ice Shard and the Icicle Spear are neutral damage, granted Skarmory's physical bulk will, and Steel-type, kind of give it an edge there. But the Earthquake just goes through Sableye. Ice Shard would just wreck Garchomp, and Mammoth Swine, you know, superpower isn't an uncommon move on it either, which could really hurt Scrafty.
Yeah, just the Mammoth Swine plus just his whole team worked really well together.
Yeah, no, it's simply the biggest threats I saw that he had to N's team audio had were the Mammoth Swine, the Thundurus, which was probably his best answer to the Rotom Heat.
Yeah.
Because that was honestly the biggest threat that N had against Audio, because the Rotom Heat could hit pretty much everything except the Dragonite pretty hard. So.
Yeah.
You got anything to say, Zach? I feel like I'm just talking this entire episode and you're just sitting
in the again, gallery. It's a reverse type of episode. Yeah,
nice. I actually have energy despite the fact that I haven't slept in like 72 hours.
Yeah, it's been a rough weekend for you. So, Dozer's the kind of person where
I just broke my pen.
What?
Oh, hey, I'm bleeding.
God damn it, Dozer.
Let's carry on.
Go get a Band-Aid. I'll talk about Olivine City.
Oh, no, so, I've got a paper towel right here. This'll do.
So, Magma also attacks Solar Trinity at Olivine City, which Solar Trinity managed to They managed to defend it in the admin battle.
Yep, taking that one 4-2.
Yep. And then...
You talk.
Yeah.
They're tired of my voice at this point.
Magma also attacked Arcadia at Tilikule Monument, and they won it in the admin battle. And I believe Tilikule is it's bonus victory point area from with Magma? Mount Lyuda.
Yep.
Correct? Yeah. So nice little chunk they took there. But then we come to Arcadia, and this battle tracker is actually flowing really well into each other this phase. So they started by attacking Magma at Sky Fortress. And they managed to win it in the admin battle 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also made attacks against Dim Sun at Heart Home City.
Now, we need to pause here. For the Arcadia and Dim Sun battles, since there were, like, five of them, and Arcadia had still, like, four other battles on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
Dim Sun and Arcadia... Dim Sun proposed a first 2-3 points deal, so they could kind of just get through their battles a lot faster.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, but, well, anyway. Yeah,
we'll get into this. So, Arcadia managed to take Heart Home City in the first match in, wait.
Yeah, they took Heart Home.
Okay, yeah, in the admin battle.
Yep.
I was wondering why there was a gap there. Yeah, in the admin battle.
First to 3 points, which means only 3 grunts.
And then they attacked Oblivia Runes and lost 3-0.
Yeah, this is where the first 3 points, because Evo actually asked Mod Chat for approval on this because it could impact things where Arcadia could, not needing to lean on admin battles, could have a potential to do a lot better because they have really good, strong grunt battlers. However, so does Dim Sun. We very frequently see Dim Sun doing grunt sweeps. I think they do it the most out of any other team.
Well, they definitely did this phase.
Yeah, because they grunt swept 3-0 Oblivia Runes, where Arcadia attacked them to defend it. And then Dim Sun's actions were just going to knock them all down in one blow, because there's not much to talk about. Dim Sun attacked Arcadia at Celestic Town, Salacion Town, and Veilstone City. Dim Sun won 3-0 grunt in all those locations.
Which, damn.
Yeah.
Just damn.
If I've said it, if I haven't said it before on the show, I'm gonna say it now. I've always viewed Dim Sun as a team that kind of runs like a high elite military force.
They're good at what they do.
Yeah,
and what
they're good
they
at
do
what
is
they
kick
do.
Ass.
Yeah,
so.
They're good at what they do. They're highly organized, very efficient, and at the same time, while they're a bit kind of edgy to
elitist.
A point, elitist, some would say, but they're kind of a very firm, I think would be a good word. Firm, stiff.
I really hope you didn't say what I think you said the first time you said that.
What did you think that I said?
It sounded like you tried to say firm.
That's what I said.
Going firm. Into, like, you know, we're talking about, like, firm and stiff stuff, so.
God damn it, Zach. No, like, rigid.
Still does not help.
That's because I'm trying to use words that I would use to define a steel girder, and you're taking it as male genitalia.
Dude, steel girder still doesn't help.
Get your mind out of the goddamn gutter. It's like talking to Queenie. Okay, let's get off of this topic. But yeah, Dim Sun, very good at what they do, very elite in demeanor.
Yeah, but hey, good battles.
Yeah, oh, pleasant battles.
Pleasant battles.
Pleasant battles.
And now to our last team.
Snag'em, who, well, Zach, I'm going to let you color for this because they're fighting Arcadia and the colors all look the same.
Yeah, I get to do something because Dozer's technically handicapped. So, first battle was between Snag'em and Arcadia for Verbank City, which Snag'em took 4-2 in the admin battle. Next battle was in Black City, White Forest, which...
Gray Terminal.
I don't care what you guys are saying. Someone please change in the battle tracker to Gray Terminal, because that's just a pain to write out.
We can do that for Season 3.
Yeah. So Snag'em attacked Arcadia, and Arcadia won in the admin battle 5-1, so not bad. And then the last battle with Snag'em is Snag'em versus Magma, and this is where the shenanigans happened. So.
Oh, gosh. Do you want to go on this, or?
I was just going to mention the leader battle was a very interesting leader battle, to say the least.
Let's just go down the teams we had. We saw a habit from Snag'em and Magma fights where the teams looked not typical.
Oh, yeah.
See. Because, for example, this is the only Snag'em-Magma battle. The admin battle was Maxie and A. Kelly, and they all brought a team, and there wasn't a single UU.
Or an OU.
Or an OU.
And that's why it is our battle of the week. It's a pure NU battle.
Mm-hmm.
And, by God, is it entertaining to watch.
It's beautiful.
I'll let you pause. And now you are back. You see what I did there? And you, and now you are back.
I'm going to punch you.
Anyway, it wasn't P, it was NU. Anyway, so we see just like really weird teams.
Yeah. By the way, Zach, I think a couple of these are RU. Just saying.
Are they?
Maybe.
I don't think they are. Pause.
I'm Googling.
Let's look at the RU list.
I'm thinking Regice might be. Dewblade is definitely RU.
Dewblade wasn't in the admin battle.
Oh, was that the other one?
Yeah.
Okay, let me double check here. Togetic or Wigglytuff, maybe?
Wigglytuff, I think, is still NU. So I know Regice is NU because of its bad typing. Not fully evolved
to
be classified.
These are all NUs.
E. Alright. But yeah, like, just... Like, it's either NU or they're not fully evolved. Like, with this Haunter and the... Well, Pilot Swine is still counted. Togetic. just
really fun teams to see. This kind of brings me back to the old kind of route of season one grunt teams.
Yeah.
Because, first off, like, for some reason, there was a huge, throughout the series of season one, no one really stuck, at least when I was on teams in season one, you didn't really pay attention to the RU tier so much. You just picked Pokemon that you wanted to use that you thought would be good and that worked.
Season one was a simpler time. It was a time where no one really cared about how strong your team was. It was about having fun for the most part.
Yeah, and then season two, at least early when I was on Arcadia at least, I always felt that there was this, like, when you're making grunt teams, you want to use as many RUs as you can because they're the best options a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Especially when Arcadia had really good RUs like Cobalion and Cresselia and stuff like that.
Yeah, but getting back to this battle, the freeze hacks.
Oh my gosh, that is it. I've seen so many freezes in Turf Wars in like the last couple weeks. I'm starting to think our server is bugged.
Like, I'm not saying it probably would have changed the entire match, would have hurt that. Arbok in the end.
Vibrava could have gotten off a stab ground move, which even with the plus one defense from the Arbok would have done some damage and maybe put it within KO range of a Whiscash Earthquake without it needing to set up a Dragon Dance.
Yeah. But...
And then it would have been... then Maxie's like strong Pokemon that he would have only really had left for like hard hitters would have only really been the Haunter, depending on the pilot sign set, because there's a curse set that I've seen somewhere. Probably
curse set's kind of an old set, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I saw it in season one, though.
Yeah.
But hey, after looking at this, I mean, nothing would surprise me. We saw a Swoobat.
I kind of forgot that thing existed.
Dude, I wanted to use it season two so bad because simple calm mind is so good. Oh,
that's
good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about intimidate, and you're golden.
Because simple calm, you know, simple ability with calm mind, roost, heat wave, and air slash, or you can do Psyshock, psychic, etc. What?
I didn't say anything.
Okay. I thought you were doing something because I heard you typing. But, so yeah, there's the Adamant battle. But then there's also this leader battle that they had where we also see really strange teams. It makes me almost feel like, because Snaggum and Magma, they get along pretty well.
Yeah.
What we see here is we saw each team bring one OU. And then, it was just really interesting. Though the teams look a lot more standard, a lot more like a leader team than, say, the admin battle did, but. Because here, Akeli all has, his Mega Diancie, we see, Crocodile, Jellicent, which, we didn't get to talk about it, but. A Jellicent put in some work for Akeli this phase.
Yeah.
You saw that replay?
I did.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Nidoqueen, Dewblade, and this Regice. gosh. Rock, Polish, Special Attacking, Regice.
Dude, Regice is going to be the new meta. Mm-hmm. It is going to be used on all VGC teams and all... You're going to see it in, like, every Smog and Ladder. It's going to go straight up to OU. And it's going to get a new ability. It's going to get the ability Multicolor.
This is where we stop listening to Zach.
I don't even think that's an ability.
It's not...
Was I thinking multi-type?
Multi-type is an ability, so is multi-scale. But anyway, so the Red Giants put in work, and Audiohead, Ariados, Chatot, you know, a Mega Camerupt, Diggersby, Venomoth, and Shuckle.
What the hell was that Diggersby?
The Diggersby only used one move, Endure. Its name was just like, kill me with fire.
I mean, I will defend Diggersby, but that was a janky set.
Like, I get if you're like, Endure Flail?
Or Endure, what is it, Endeavor. Revenge? Or Reversal?
Yeah, Endure maybe Reversal. You can learn? Yeah, I think Flail for the stab.
Yeah.
But, it almost looked like it was Choice Scarfed into Endeavor. Because it just kept using it. Same time, Endeavor gets priority, so it doesn't necessarily need to be choiced into it. But it just hit Endeavor, and you kept hitting Endeavor, and it's just, why?
Wait, is it Endeavor or Endure?
Endure.
Okay.
Well, I'm tired. Like I say, sleep 72 hours.
Because Endure, Endeavor, and then Quick Attack.
Yeah.
That's a move.
Yeah.
That's why you bring the level 1 Rattata.
But what I'm really curious about is, and I think I kind of get it, but at the same time I kind of don't, is choosing to use Ariados over Galvantula.
Yeah.
Like, I know Ariados is a good Sticky Webs lead in Enyu, but you have access to Galvantula, which can do the exact same thing and then some. The only kind of reasoning I can see for it is the poison jab to kind of try and deal with fairies.
Yeah, but at that point, I mean, there's better things for that job.
Either way, it was just really interesting, and we're really talking about these a lot.
Yeah.
They're rather obscure, but at the same time, it's like the last two phases.
We can do whatever we want.
I kind of feel like people, especially like some teams that aren't really super into getting in the top spots, are just kind of dicking around.
Yeah.
And
nothing wrong with
beautiful.
That.
Beautiful. Gives us a lot to talk about, actually. These two Magma Snagum battles were a lot of fun. I kind of want to sift through and watch the other replays to see if there's just, like, insanity ensuing.
Look, if we see another, like, Bell Pikachu, then we might... Oh, wait, no one has electric. We have electric. That's we right. Run the Bell Pikachu.
We run the Bell Pikachu. Oh, yeah. And now it's time for the point breakdown.
Yay. Oh.
I had to do math, and Zach irritated me, and now we're in bad things.
Yeah. It's just like phase 17 all over again.
Oh, God. I forgot. I blanked that from my memory. Let's not drudge it up. So Dimsun had a very good phase. They gained, with those grunt sweeps we talked about earlier, they gained Celestic Town, Celestian Town, and Veilstone City. And Celestic gave them one bonus victory point, and Celestian and Veilstone combined gave them two bonus victory points, bringing them but, however, they lost Hearthome and one bonus victory point from that. So, +6, -2, +4 overall, bringing them up from 34 to 38.
Which is a pretty commanding lead at the moment.
For only one phase left? Yeah.
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 In second place, we have Solar Trinity. Overall, throughout the phase, they managed to take one position, Ecruteak City. And they also lost one position, being Marvel City, which is not really such a big deal, except they did lose some bonus victory points in Hoenn for Marvel, mm-hmm. which takes them down from last phase being at 29 down to, I believe, 27. Is my math? Yes.
Yeah, something like that. And then in third place, we have good old Arcadia, who took another beating. They lost...
Beating? I wouldn't call it that. I mean, that's pretty mild for what happened.
They lost 6 territory. I'm trying to be nice to them. Shush.
I know, but being blunt is sometimes better than being nice.
You're the reason that they think that I hate them.
I'm not the reason.
Shh. -6 for territories overall because they lost Tikkyul, Oblivia Ruins, Verbank City, and then Celestic Slazion and Veilstone. And through losing Verbank City, they lost 1 bonus victory point. But all hope is not lost, for they gained 2 points from Sky Fortress and Hearthome, and they gained 2 bonus victory points from reclaiming Sky Fortress, which means they only had a net loss of 2.
Yeah, which isn't bad at all.
3.
They were 28 last phase.
2. I miscounted somewhere. They had a net loss of 2 or 3, one or the other. Let's not double-check my math. It's... no.
Don't worry, they're at 26. They're still 1 point behind Solar Trinity.
Yeah, they're at 26, 1 point behind Solar Trinity.
But you know who else is just 1 point behind? Magma. So last phase, they ended with 23 points. And over this phase, they did lose Ecruteak City and Sky Fortress, but they also won Marvel City and Tilikiel Monument, which they do get bonus victory points for Tilikiel Monument. Which pushes them up to 25 from 23.
And then finally, bringing up the rear, we've got good old Snag'em having another good phase for them, getting 2 points for Verbank and Santaloon City, and Santaloon actually giving them a bonus victory point, bringing them up plus 3 from their previous 20 to 23.
Yeah.
Now, if you've been listening to our total points, here is, in phase 19, the second to last phase, the results. The current standings: first place, Dim Sun at 38. Second place, Solar Trinity at 27. Third place, Arcadia 26. Fourth place, Magma 25. Fifth place, Snag'em 23. What?
Those last 4 are really close.
Second through fifth place are within 4 points of each other.
It's crazy. Unfortunately, I think Dim Sun has this wrapped up.
It looks like that, but we know how things can go in Turf Wars.
I mean,
and if we want to take, I'm gonna say
sneak
it,
peek into
a
next,
sneak peek into next
into
week.
This week, because we're recording it late, so it's already this week.
Sneak peek into this week. We have all
fuck
of the
you, logic,
and. Oh, Dim Sun's getting the Magma treatment and the Arcadia treatment all wrapped up in one nice, neat little package.
Yeah.
But the chaining we got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 chains.
So many chains. Mm-hmm. This many chains, you could make a bike. Or a dricycle. Or a big wheel.
Anyway, Magma is attacking Solar Trinity and Zootopolis, and then training... and then... no, they're hitting Lily Cove and then chaining from Lily Cove to Zootopolis, and also hitting Arcadia at Rasp Cavern. Solar Trinity going balls to the wall, hitting Camphrier, chaining from Camphrier to Lumiose, chaining from Lumiose to Kilud City, all against Dim Sun. We were talking about the double chain from Snag'em a few phases ago. Solar Trinity took a page out of the Snag'em book right there.
It's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Next, Arcadia is attacking Dim Sun 3 times at Snowpoint City, at Orberg City, and then chaining from Orberg to Eterna City. Which I probably don't pay much attention to the location tracker. I could have swore they could hit Eterna anyway from Hardhome.
Sinnoh's weird.
Because they can go through Mount Coronet. Like, it's right on the other side, I would think. No, wait, I'm wrong. It's Celestic, but you could still go through it.
Sinnoh's weird. Sinnoh
whatever.
Is very weird. Because on the Mount Coronet logic, you can go from Orberg to Snow Point. Yeah. So, we'll have to relook into that.
Look at the map.
Mm-hmm. But they're chaining from Orberg to Eterna. No, wait. Yeah. Where are they hitting Snowpoint from? They own Hearthome.
Mm-hmm.
Hearthome connects to Orberg. Hearthome does not connect to Eterna.
I could have swore it did.
No, wait. No, it has to. That's how they can hit Snowpoint.
Yeah. It's an unnecessary chain, Dozer.
It is an unnecessary chain. Unless,
Do you think we should bring that up to them?
We probably should, because that's actually could be a game changer.
Yeah,
because then if they miss Orberg, they can still hit Eterna. Or we're just being dumb?
Yeah, because I don't know where
I feel like we've had this conversation on the show before.
We haven't. We've had a
conversation
about season 3 with this, but...
No, we've had a conversation about chaining in Sinnoh and Orberg and how it's weird because Orberg doesn't connect to Mount Cornet. But I think that was going from Orberg... I bumped my mic. I think that was going from Orberg to Hearthel.
It does connect, though. No, it's Orberg right above...
Yeah,
that's how you get to Hearthome City.
I know my Gen 4 map like the back of my hand. And you're right, I'm pretty sure you can't, but I'm trying to wonder why they think they'd have to chain.
I don't know. I'm looking at the Mount Coronet map right now,
at the turf tracker.
I'm not going off the turf tracker. I mean, you could go off the turf tracker.
They got
but
Hearthome.
Because the way you get to Snowpoint is...
Yeah, no, they can go... It's on the same route. They don't need a chain. We gotta tell Arcadia that they don't need a chain to Eterna from Orberg, because Orberg... It's a split route.
That's right. Okay, yeah, we'll mention that to them. You guys did a dumb. But
I got confused. It's like... It's like North Central Hoenn with Petalburg. You can go from Petalburg to
Rustboro
and Dewford at the same time.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and tell them right now.
Okay, you do that.
All right, you can go ahead and talk about stuff.
Okay, you type up, and then we have Snagum going to Flocaseat, then chaining from Flocaseat to Aspertia City, and also hitting up Annavel Town. All of them against Arcadia. Trying to really dig in there and drudge up Arcadia's weakening hold in Unova. And then finally, we have our Dim Sun actions hitting Silage City against Solar Trinity, Isurus City against Arcadia, and throwing a defensive action on Camphrier Town to try and stop that big old chain. And Zach is typing. So I'm ad-libbing, and my ad-libbing is horrible. Do a di a diddy da diddy do.
Blue dabba dee dabba die.
I'm blue a dabu di abu die ooh abu di abu die.
So,
beyond
anything
that,
else we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about our predictions?
Do we want to go through the worst case scenario stuff?
Well, I mean,
for Dim Sun.
Yeah, let's see. If Dim Sun does lose each one of these battles...
So, let's just see. Camphrier is in... That's in Kalos.
Yes.
That would give 2 points to Solar Trinity because that's a bonus victory point. Lumios would... and that's also minus one to Dim Sun. Lumios would take 2 away from Dim Sun. And then Kilud would take 2 away from Dim Sun. So, right there, just through Solar Trinity's, that's minus 5 to Dim Sun. And plus 5 to Solar Trinity. Which clears the 10-point gap.
That it does.
Bringing them within 1 point of Dim Sun. If Solar Trinity wins all 5 of those matches, they're 1 point behind first place.
Yeah, I think we don't need to do too much math now.
Then there's the Arcadia matches in Sinnoh, where Snowpoint would be minus 2. Orberg would be just minus 1, but that'd be plus 2 to Arcadia. And then Snowpoint would be minus want to say, where is Snow
Point? It's minus one because it matches up with Eterna and Celestic Town.
Did they have no way to hit Salacion, Pastoria, Sunnyshore?
They lost, I believe, Salacion Town and Celestic Town.
San Gem, Jubilife, Cantilever, Floroma. I don't think they could have hit any of those either.
No,
but still, it would do enough to knock Dim Sun out of the lead. So Dim Sun's not running away with this on a clean.
Oh wait, no, they could hit Pastoria City. They could have hit Pastoria.
Why didn't they?
Because they wanted that Eterna City point. I don't know. It doesn't make sense sometimes.
Yeah. No, but A.
Yeah.
It would knock Dim Sun out of the lead, put Solar Trinity into first. So, but that's assuming Dim Sun. So Dim Sun, if they lose all three battles against Solar Trinity, and then lose one against Arcadia, but then they'd also have to lose Icerus and Silage. But the thing is, we've seen these Doomsday scenarios actually kind of pan out.
You're really sad.
It really is. So this isn't a clean sweep yet, and of course, as we said, if Dim Sun can be dragged down 10 points just with Solar Trinity's moves, that puts them within shooting range of everyone.
Yeah.
Because the bottom four places are only 4 points apart. Snagum could wind up in second place. It's Solar Trinity could be first. And those are two of the teams that were the lowest ranked throughout a majority of the second half of the season. Well, Solar Trinity first half, Snagum the second half.
Yeah.
Magma could maybe win if, well, probably not as likely, to be honest. These are the last actions. The moves are locked in, and it's all up to the battles. There's no more speculation. These fights we're talking about are the last fights of Season 2. That's it. This is done. All the strategy, all the overworld, it's gone. It's all the battles right now.
This is what's going to make or break the game. Who's going to win? Who's going to come out on top? This is the ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny, guys.
And
good
you're
guys,
getting
bad guys, more bad guys, as far as the eye can see.
And you're getting the results not completely up to date or live right here on The Boomburst. Thanks for listening.